You just tuned into the Dental Marketer Talks, hashtag TDM Talks podcast. I'm your host, Michael, coming at you with the latest episode. Okay, let's talk with our featured guest, Dr. Edna Buckle. Dr. Edna Buckle was born in Ghana and grew up primarily in Michigan. She attended the University of Michigan and completed her dental training at the world's first dental school, the University of Maryland, where she received the prestigious Anesthesia Award for Management of Anxious Patients. After dental school, Dr. Buckle completed 4 years of oral surgery training at Howard University Hospital in Washington, D.C., with emphasis on trauma and facial surgery, as well as extractions, pathology, sedation, and management of medically compromised patients. Dr. Buckle is written board certified and credentialed with Laurel Regional Hospital. She opened up, not too long ago, Avi Oral Surgery Group, a practice whose priority is to serve the patient population in a respectful and calming environment. Dr. Buckle, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Buckle, why don't you tell the Dental Marketer Tribe a little bit about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today?
Well, I mean, honestly, my past, I finished dental school in 2010. I did residency for 4 years until 2014. And then I've kind of gone from working in a large practice setting to a large corporate setting to a small group practice and finally opening up my own practice. So that's kind of where I've been in terms of professionally.
And you just opened up your practice, right?
Yeah, we just opened up our practice. Our first day that we were open was January 9th, 2017, and our first day seeing patients was January 10th. So that particular patient was a walk-in, so it was really nice that people actually saw our sign and were able to come in.
Yeah, definitely. You said you worked at a large corporation, a large practice, right, as well, and then a small practice?
So the first practice that I worked in was actually not in the Maryland area, even though I'd been here for almost 10 years. I left the area to go to Cincinnati, Ohio, because I wanted something different. I wanted something, you know, interesting. Mm-hmm. And there was a large group practice. They had 9 general dental offices, and I worked out of 3 of their offices as their main oral surgeon, or one of their 2 main oral surgeons. And that was interesting. It was not quite a corporate setting, but it structured itself like a corporate setting. So in many ways, there were the benefits of being in a corporate setting. And in other ways, there were the headaches of being in a corporate setting. But it was a pleasant experience in terms of the people that I worked with. I just got bored out in Cincinnati, so I came back.
Gotcha. For like people who are just about to graduate, and you know, they also want their, you know, to start up their own practice, like pretty much immediately, what would you recommend they should kind of dip their, or not dip, but jump into first, as far as you think it would be better to, you know, start off in a small practice or like a large corporation or a large just regular practice? Or what do you think?
Well, honestly, I find that right now with my own practice, 50% of what I do is not taking care of patients. If you want to get really at taking care of patients, you want high volume, which is where a corporate setting would be beneficial, because you're going to get a high volume, you're going to get a wide variety of patients that you see. However, you're basically just doing treatment, which is exactly what you did in dental school. It's exactly what you trained for. However, if you want to get a feel for some of the marketing that goes into it, some of the insurance and credentialing process that goes into having a practice, you probably want to go with a smaller setting where you might have more of a hands-on ability to work with those things, as well as maybe work with the office manager to, you know, ask them questions and how that works.
What is one technique, tactic, method, or procedure that you have used that has not only increased production but has improved your practice overall?
Well, I have a couple of things. So in terms of increasing production, I feel that the one big thing that I did was really try to structure my practice in a way that makes it so that everybody knows what tasks they're supposed to do. So before I opened the practice, I sat down with my business partner and we went through and said, what does a dental assistant do? And we put all the steps on there in a checklist form. And, you know, we went through, what does front desk do? What does this person do? What is each person's role? So that when it comes right down to it, when things are going bad, you always want to know, okay, who was supposed to be doing this so that we can straighten it out? You don't ever want it to be a, you know, all hands on deck situation, but the deck's on fire. And nobody knows where the water is to put it out. So that was one of the things that I did in terms of having my production and treatment be streamlined. In terms of having, like, referral sources and doing marketing, I feel like I've tried so many things in the last few weeks. We've tried Yelp ads, which we haven't had too much success from. We've tried Facebook ads, which I think we've had a few patients off of there. But the big thing that has actually worked, because we're referral-based, is simply going out to the referral sources and talking to them. We've been to probably about 30 different offices just introducing ourselves. We take some donuts or sweets or chocolate or something along those lines and just go talk to people and tell them where we are. I made up brochures that kind of told my background story and what kind of procedures we do, plus our hours of operation. Mm-hmm. And then I've really worked on our website to make it so that patients can get to know us. And I feel like those few things have actually given me more foot traffic than a lot of the online ads.
Gotcha. And you feel like right now what you invested with Yelp, do you feel like that kind of was not a waste, but like, I guess, a lesson learned as far as like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do it again? Or do you think it's just consistency? You're going to try and do it again and again?
I'm going to try and do it again. Right now, it's a matter of throwing a whole bunch of spaghetti at a wall and hoping something sticks. But something will stick, so I'm just going to keep throwing for now.
Gotcha. And then the Facebook ads, it's starting to stick, right? And that's like more, I guess, targeted, you can say, as well, because you're kind of doing it all. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting your email list, if you have an email list, or you're trying to find your target population and the demographic, or like where it's at. You know what I mean? And then it makes it easier. But yeah, I do agree with you as far as if you're a specialty office, referrals is probably like the best way to go. And, you know, build a rapport, build a relationship with, you know, dentist. Our general dentist. As far as like making the brochures, I think that's brilliant though. Like, you know how you make a specific piece of marketing, a flyer, brochure or something, and you have your avatar, you have your person who's reading it in mind already. You know, you're not just saying like, oh, this is our specials, and then you give it out to everybody. That is more targeted. So I thought that was really good. Before we get to question number two, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. Guys, I've said it in the last episode and I'll say it once more. I know you really want to enjoy more success, have a higher income, and have a sense of fulfillment as a dentist. You have got to improve your practice, improve your new patient flow, improve your marketing, and that all starts with improving your skills and knowledge. The absolute best way to start is learning one of the most underdiagnosed, underutilized, and simple surgical procedures, which is crown lengthening surgery. You have no idea how many existing patients in your practice need it and how many new patients are going to need it. And I know you may be saying to yourself, Michael, I don't have the time to go fly or drive out and spend weeks and weeks or months or even years learning a new skill or learning how to do crown lengthening surgery. Or you may be saying, I don't have the skill set or I'm too old or too young to do it. That doesn't matter anymore, guys. Thanks to the brilliant Dr. Ziv Simon, who has created a remarkably unique 4-week fully immersive training and coaching program in aesthetic and functional crown lengthening surgery. You will be getting so much from these courses, your own dedicated educational platform, one-on-one surgical coaching, a customized strategy call with Dr. Ziv Simon and his team, ongoing mentoring by Dr. Ziv Simon, daily online interactions with Dr. Simon and other doctors in the course, 30-day money-back guarantee just in case if you don't like it, and 14 CE credits, and so, so much more. Just go ahead and read the testimonials. I'll provide you the link to more information on this course along with 10% off your purchase. Just click the link below in the show notes under the headline Sponsors, and it'll show you much more information on the course and how it will totally change your practice in a positive way. So click the link that says 10% off for crown lengthening surgery, read the testimonials, and everything you will be receiving before, during, and after the course. And I guarantee you'll start seeing more success. What is one method procedure or technique you would never use again, and why?
Well, I went through something called, I think it was called Yext, and basically they were the premise is you pay them a certain amount and they're going to increase your presence on these really small websites, these really small search websites that I personally had never heard of, but what I was trying to increase was my search engine optimization, and so I figured it didn't particularly hurt. Now, have I received anybody from any of those small websites? No. So I probably wouldn't have paid to do that again, because honestly, I could have gone through each of those small websites and done it myself. It just seemed like you can either spend time or you can spend a little bit of money, and I chose to spend a little money, but I should have just spent the time.
Yeah. And did you jump into doing your own practice, not blindly, but like, you know, you jumped in and you really didn't know much about, you know, SEO or web analytics, or did you do the research before and then did it, or did you jump in and then you started doing the research?
The third option. I jumped in and then, I looked around and I was like, wait, this is a business. I can't just perform oral surgery. I actually have to get people in the door to be able to perform oral surgery. So then I started, you know, teaching myself about SEO and Google Analytics and website analytics and what this means and how this works. So yeah, it's been a learning curve.
And what is one, I guess, procedure that you do in the back, like on a patient, that you have seen kind of better your production or better your collection? Like, maybe a lot of dentists or oral surgeons are doing it this way, but if they only knew they can do this procedure this certain way, then, or with a certain technique, it would better their production. Do you have any procedure in mind or anything like that?
Not especially. I think that pretty much the only thing that I can think of is there are some patients who would do better with getting nitrous and or some laughing gas to help ease their anxiety, but they can't particularly pay for it. And one office that I was at, they just, if you couldn't even pay for it, they were just like, you know what, it'd be easier for me to do this, you know, $100 production on you versus fighting with you over $50 of nitrous. So why don't we just throw on the nitrous and keep it moving? And I thought that was actually not a bad premise, because it got patients that would not have otherwise gone through the procedure, and you got done.
Gotcha. And so what are other ways, like, for example, people who, I guess, general dentists, because actually almost every dentist kind of fights with patients who have like anxiety, right? Like, everybody's somewhat afraid of, not everybody, but certain people are somewhat afraid of, like, specifically like the drill, you know, or a dentist. What would you recommend for a dentist to do or say to a patient? Like, say it's somebody who needs pending treatment, right? They came in for an exam and consultation and they left and they're like, oh my God, I mean, I understand I needed that much work, but I'm just too afraid to do, you know, pretty much a lot of this stuff. What would you recommend, or what is the best thing to say or do in that situation?
Well, I mean, I suppose for me it's a little easier because I have a lot of things in my armamentarium that I can do to sedate patients. I do IV sedation in my office. And I do offer oral sedation, like Valium or lorazepam, and that gets patients through a lot of things. So when they start saying that they're anxious or they're nervous, I ask them, I'm like, well, do you have anybody who could bring you in? And when they say yes, because almost everybody does, I say, well, if you have someone who can bring you into the office, we can give you this prescription. It's not necessarily going to go put you all the way to sleep, but it's going to get you to the point where you're comfortable enough that we can get this done, and you need to get this done. So once they hear need and they hear there's an alternate way to do this, they're usually comfortable enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. And do you say that like through the phone or like when they're at the initial exam?
At the initial exam, I really think the consultation for my particular practice is the most important visit, because that's where you get to know people. That's where you get to kind of understand where they're coming from and try to work with them in terms of how anxious they are, what they might have going on in their life that might alter your treatment plan, and things like that. Because if you don't really know your patients, you're going to have issues afterwards, because that's when they call you and say, you didn't tell me that I could do blah, 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 things like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. Definitely. I agree. There's the hard part is kind of getting the patient through the door, right? And then after that, once they see you, there's already a 74% chance that person will become a loyal patient or a loyal client of yours. But if they like you, then it's like 100%. You know what I mean? If they already, y'all have similarities or, you know, whatever the case may be, I mean, there's already going to be a really strong case where you guys are going to be lifelong buddies or something, you know? So what's one piece of business advice you have received that simplified, accelerated, or completely changed your practice in a positive way?
I guess the best advice is to remember that even if you're a health-based business and you are basically thinking to yourself, oh, people need my services, so they'll come, you still have to remember that the end of the phrase is business. Mm-hmm. So you should act like a business. So I actually started out listening to a lot of business management, marketing, and finance books because these were not things that were taught in dental school. Mm-hmm. But the best book that I read by far is one that's called Never Eat Alone. It's by this entrepreneur business guy. His name is Keith Ferrazzi. Uh-huh. It basically emphasized how relationships and networking are incredibly vital when it comes to creating and developing a successful business. You want it to be that if you have a problem, the internet is not your only resource. You should have people you can actually pick up the phone and talk to. Mm-hmm. So basically, you want to make friends, you want to reach out to them, you want to ask them who they know who might be able to help you out. And I think that was important for me, especially because I'm actually quite shy. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert for sure. Yeah. So I'm shy about asking people for help, but now I realize that a lot of people are super happy to help because they have all this knowledge and all these resources stored up, and all they're thinking to themselves is, man, I could totally help that person out if they just say the word. And in reality, the very worst thing anybody can ever say to you is no, and no mm-hmm. is not going to kill you. So I think that was a big thing because reaching out to people helped me as far as starting the practice. It helped me save money in terms of the build out. It helped me in terms of getting set up with, you know, some of the legal things that I had to do. It has helped me a lot to be able to pick up the phone and just be able to call somebody and say, hey, what does this mean? How does this work? So that has been probably the biggest thing I can say. Never eat alone. That's a major book that everybody should read.
Yeah, I agree. Especially like in your type of field where referrals are crucial. You know, I mean, if you are just on your own and you don't want to ask for help or you don't want to ask anybody, you're just relying on Google, it's not going to work out as great as like mm-hmm. someone who's, you know, out there with everybody. Just for example, if there's, I don't know, 20 general dentists near you and you're the oral surgeon, yeah, like have lunch with some of them. Just have lunch with the office manager if you want, or you know what I mean? Like every other week or something, or just call and say what's up. I mean, building rapport, especially if you have your own like specialty office, yeah, that's very, very crucial. Or even, you know what, even if you're just like a general dentist, building rapport with the community. I mean, like build rapport with like the urgent care people, or build rapport with like, you know, just any companies. As far as every company or business owner has like employees, you know what I mean? You know, they mm-hmm. can, I mean, everybody has teeth, and then you narrow it down. Everybody's eventually going to get a cavity, or they need a teeth cleaning. And then, you know what I mean? You just keep narrowing it down. A lot of the times back in the day, we could kind of think like, okay, if we build it, they'll come, you know? But now if like you build it, you're like number 83 in the community who built the exact same thing. So yeah, so you got to try and like differentiate yourself. And that's a great way, I think, like being part of the community. That way you can say you are, you know, the oral surgeon for the community or the dentist for the community. One more question, just like out of curiosity, what's like the worst patient you've ever received with anxiety problems?
Oh gosh, I had this 15-year-old boy who came in. He was supposed to be getting his wisdom teeth out. He cried during the consultation, and I was telling his mother, I was just like, I do not honestly think he's going to be able to even be sedated in the office. He's crying when I walk in. Uh-huh. So his mother was like, oh, he'll be fine. So we actually tried a little bit of Valium before he came in, and he was as hype as ever, sat down in the chair, and he started screaming when I went to just put the IV in. So I told them, I was like, nope, I am not going to attempt this, because in order for me to just get the IV in to do this procedure, I'm going to have to strap him down, and I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
So I had to refer them for his wisdom teeth to go to the hospital, and that's the worst anxious patient I've ever had. I won't forget that kid.
But he got him out, right? He got his wisdom teeth out?
Well, at the time, that was, I think, within my first month or 2 months in Cincinnati. I didn't have hospital privileges yet because it takes like 4 months to get them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to refer him out. But I do believe he got them done at a different office. Not the office, but at a different hospital. Mm-hmm. It's funny, but the teenagers aren't the worst ones. It's usually the ones who have had an extensive history of having procedures done. And at that point, they don't like the dentist. They don't like coming. They don't like anything about us. And so it's usually people in their 50s and 60s that I see who are some of my most anxious patients.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, the teenagers.
I'm guessing because you're right, like they're just kind of like over it already. They're like, you know what, let's just get this done. And I guess they're more frustrated.
They're a little frustrated, and then, you know, it's almost like if you have to encounter something you're afraid of over and over again, you know, you can either conquer that fear or exacerbate that fear. And I see a lot of exacerbations, not conquering.
Alrighty, Dr. Buckle, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
So our office is located in Odenton, Maryland. We're really close to Fort Meade, just down the 175 in Anne Arundel County, Maryland.
Awesome. Excellent. And that and the website will be in the show notes below as well. Excellent. Thank you so much again for joining us on today's episode, Dr. Buckle, and we'll hear from you soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Don't forget to go in the show notes below and look for the link that says 10% off for crown lengthening surgery. It's under the headline sponsors. Read the testimonials and everything you will be receiving in the crown lengthening surgery courses. I guarantee you'll start seeing more success. Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram under The Dental Marketer. Follow me on Twitter under TDM Tweeting and like the Facebook page under The Dental Marketer. And guys, I'll talk to you soon.